It's my plan, God willing, to look at Gethsemane this evening, and tomorrow morning, God willing, and on the Lord's Day morning, and then to look at Micah 7, the closing section on the Lord's Day evening, and then, God permitting, we might venture into the Song of Songs and think of our devotion to Christ on Monday. So we turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 36. This is the word of God. Every part is true and to be received in faith. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. But then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." Ending at verse 45. This is the word of the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, we walked along the beach in Spain. Our beaches aren't great in Northern Ireland, but they're certainly not like the ones in Sturnava or Stornoway. It had poured down rain all day in that hot, sunny land that they hadn't had rain for 3 months. And the sun came out at dusk and warmed the earth. My wife and I looked at each other as we paddled in the waves. Our noses were itching intensely with the scent of lavender perfume. The fresh rain and the late heat had saturated the atmosphere with this lavender fragrance, and I looked at her and said, "I've never smelt such strong lavender." And she said, "Well, except the time you crushed it and rolled it in your hand." Christ now enters a garden. It's the Garden of Gethsemane. The name, of course, from the Hebrew words for press, gath, and shemen, oil, means oil pressed. Even today in Jerusalem, there are old, gnarled, huge olive trees at the foot of the grove of the Mount of Olives, whose fruit from Roman times has been crushed into a press for oil. The reason I began with that story about Spain is for this reason. The crushed oil, the crushed fruit, the crushed flower brings out the fragrance, and it's so appropriate as we come to this garden, as he is crushed,
for our sakes, that is for my sakes, for my sake and your sake, that we will see by God's grace and by His Spirit in His Word something of the loveliness and the fragrance and the perfume of His sufferings. That's my prayer. That our hearts would be broken as He was broken, and would well up in love for the Saviour. The first thing we see then in this passage on the submission of the Saviour in the garden is that it was submissive drinking. It was submissive receiving to drink, rather. He says, verse 39, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The Father, as it were at this point, offers the cup to the Son, who grasps the cup of wrath in prospect of the cross. He's just receiving it now. He will yet drink it and drain it to the full for His people. It's not a running over cup that the Good Shepherd gives His people and guests at His banquet in Psalm 23. It's not the blessed cup of thanksgiving that we drink from and Paul mentions to the Corinthians at His table. It's not the psalmist's salvation cup we lift up to bear vows with. This cup He receives and accepts contains a deadly drink. It's a sulfuric, it's a scorched wind cup, says the psalmist, that rains down coals upon the heads of the wicked righteously in indignation. Psalm 11 verse 6. It's a cup in the Father's hand of well mixed foaming wine, Psalm 75 verse 8. It contains a heady mix. It's God's foaming wrath and just fury at sin, His righteous indignation, which Jesus will drain to its dregs. His sinless manhood shudders. It longs to let it pass, if that would be God's will, if that would please the Father. But His humanity also submits and grasps with both hands this cup that the Father wills for Him. How do we apply this? Don't you and I deserve to take this cup and drink it down, to swallow this foam, to be blasted by the wind, to lie drunk with wrath in hellish vomit? In the case of repentant believers, of course, Christ has drained that cup for you, which He accepted in the garden. It's as if every soul in the church is gathered round a great cup, full of cursed claret, which all must drink by judgment day. And the King comes into the hall and looks at His people, and grasps it and gulps it. He empties the cup. He drains it all down. He reels and vomits and writhes and staggers the wrath of the cup. He did this to save me, because He loved me, says Paul, and gave Himself for me. and for you. And perhaps there's some soul here this evening, you've heard of the judgment of God, of the wrath of God, of his righteousness and holiness, it's in his indignation against your rejection of the gospel, his Christ. In your present state, this is a cup for you if you refuse to repent. Let me urge you at this season, brokenheartedly, to acknowledge your sin and repent, to embrace the Son who drained the cup for you. Why did he do it? So that we would bless the loving Son who said, "Yes, I will drain its dregs. Father, your will." So that we might drink the cup of blessing. So our joy might bubble and brim over. So that we might drink the cup of communion at the table. So it was a submissive taking of the cup. It was also submissive praying. If you are willing, or as it has it in the scripture we read, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will." Now let's not think that the Saviour here is expressing any reluctance, any resistance to taking this cup. Enthusiastically from all eternity, the Son jumped at the opportunity to mediate for his people, to be go-between, to do what they could never do, and suffer to bring them to God. "Here am I, send me." Did Isaiah say it? The Eternal Son said it with infinite more commitment to his prophet. His blood, therefore, by covenant title deed, purchased the lordship to all lands and shed the ransom for hostages held by hell. He said he would veil his glory in the flesh and accept poverty, thirst and sleep as the mediating God-man to complete his rescue task. He's the Word made flesh who fixed his face like flint to the cross. He marches to the usual prayer spot so that Judas will find him here. And when it comes to his arrest, as Klaus Schilder notes, he's not like a lamb, timid, but like a lion, shaking his mane. And then he will be silent as a lamb as he's slaughtered on the tree. He did everything to satisfy the will of the Father. He's enthusiastic. He longs to obey. And yet he says, if it is possible. How do we understand this if? Well, of course, it's the language of a relationship. He's the Son of the Father, whose face he loves, whose smile he enjoys. Become a curse, be made sin, be deprived of the comfort of the Father's face on the cross. Father, Father, if it is possible, It's language of relationship. The Father-Son relationship governs everything here. Oh, my Father. Anything but that. And it is the language of sinless prayer, of human nature that would rather avoid the horrors of hell. If possible, we mustn't, in protecting the deity of Christ, compromise his humanity. Is there a human being on the face of the earth who would have said, yes, I want hell? Human nature shudders at such things. This is the language of sinless prayer. It's an interesting question, isn't it? Was it really possible? If it is possible, the original actually is framed in a way that hypothetically, just thinking of this one thing and nothing else, none of the other consequences, hypothetically, it might be possible. But when we think of it historically, not hypothetically, surely we would say it is impossible. This cup cannot pass from the Son, and therefore the Father, his will must be done. Why is it impossible? Well, who could devise a better saving plan? Think of one. Search your souls, scratch your heads, scan the books. What other better way to save and to seek the lost? The second, God most wise always makes the right and the best, the perfect choice. Are we wiser than God? How could we conceive or think of a better plan, a better way? Third, of course, the Son had committed to keep covenant. Will you go? I will go. Will you save? I will save. We might say he had locked-in syndrome to the covenant. Can't be any other way. And fourth, of course, when we survey and look at how God deemed to rescue sinful, wicked creatures and bring glory to his name, what a brilliant, most wise, holy plan. Calvin says there are three main purposes that the gospel is preached. Number one, to show God's love. These are my words that are summarizing Calvin. He's much more profound. To show God's love, one. Two, to bring us to a proper hatred of our sin. And three, to lead us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, so that we would hate our sin, so that we would come to Christ, and so that we would see his love. Look at the God-man as he cries. Hebrews tells us, which is a commentary on this text, with loud cries and tears, Peter and James and John, just a short distance away, heard these great cries. He cried and he went to his father, cast himself down on his face and took the cup.
designed to help us ask ourselves, did our sin and the will of the Father, the consent of the Son, bring this upon the Son of God? Did my sin do that to him? What love. He's showing you this evening, as we look at him, say, not my will, but this perfect plan. It displays God's attributes. It shows his justice. It highlights his holy wrath. It shouts out his goodness and proclaims his sovereign will before the creation of the world to choose men and women and boys and girls for whom he will shed his blood and for whom he now takes this cup. It's a plan designed to send angels wild with rapture. Look what he's doing for them. What do you mean, Gabriel? Come and look at him. The Son. His loud cries and tears in the garden. Does it not produce a loathing for our sin? When he's so filled with anguish at the prospect of the cross, he says, if possible, let it pass. Not thy will, but mine be done. And it is designed, isn't it? Such love, such kindness to win our hearts. You know people who do little kind things and say, such a nice person. Tiny little deeds produce our admiration, win our affection, and the Son of God descends to the edge of the abyss for rebel sinners and takes the cup. And it's designed to bring us in submission to our Lord, to follow him and talk with him and have his life and energy and power and goodness and image filling our hearts, transforming our lives, spreading the fragrance round, telling your neighbours, telling your friends, this is what the Saviour did for me. It's designed to restore our relationship with God. It is, isn't it? I hope you see, and I'm so bad at explaining it, but it is the most amazing plan. Think of it. All that this plan means. Do you maybe think the Father does know best? So we see submissive praying. And then we see submissive living. What's our response to the Saviour as he submits? Well, yield. Yield. Go on. Just yield, people of God, to one who yielded for you. I don't mean that. You see, it's a struggle, isn't it? If somebody just can't stand at the front and say, yield, because you say, yes, Lord, yes, I want to yield because you yielded for me, but I'm weak. There's part of me, the old man in the breast, that is not able to and does not want to yield. if you're not yet converted, that's your state. But if by the Spirit you have the new nature inside, more and more you want, with struggle and with fear and alarm, after the fashion and pattern of the Saviour, whose depths we will never reach or know, submit to him. Because he's Lord. He's King. He's Master. A great cry of covenanters is King Jesus. Lord of every area of life. Lord of government, Lord of society, Lord of the home, King of the church, the sole King and head of the church, his body. Lord of my life, Lord of my home, Lord of my marriage, Lord of my work, Lord of my neighbourhood. Crown Jesus King, Lord Jesus. As we come to this table, we're encouraged, aren't we, to consider self-examination. It's a command. Let a man examine himself. It's a command so that we will examine ourselves in obedience, submitting to his will, and therefore let him eat or drink. Examine ourselves. And then come. Come confessing our sins. But it is a struggle. He bowed and roared and wept. Wept. Struggled. We will struggle. We'll struggle to submit, of course. When life is hard. When circumstances aren't what we want. When we're not in the place that we would choose. And we cry, Father, if you're willing. No, it's not what I want. Nevertheless, we submit to his will. It's not easy when we're sick. And say, Lord, if it is your will, heal me. And the sickness doesn't go away. And we say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's the same in grief. The same in disappointment. It's the same when troubles come to our families and our homes and our nation. No, Lord, the old man says, but the new man says, if it is thy will, that thy will be done. This surely is our response of submission to the will of our Father who always knows best. And maybe this evening you're in a situation, in a difficulty, you'd rather it weren't the case. It might be breaking your heart, it might be a crushing load. You say, Lord, let it pass. But because he said in the garden, nevertheless, thy will be done. By his grace, by his example, by the motivation of his love, who said yes for you, we say yes to him. We say, yes, Lord. If we're Christians, to come to the table to which he invites us. Lord, you drank the cup and received the cup in the garden, drank it at Golgotha to bring me to that table. To acknowledge you as my Lord and Saviour. To profess him openly and public in the presence of his people.
Will you submit to his will and come and receive blessing at the table? This is surely, isn't it, a mark of grace and sign of our growing merging of our wills with the Father's will, that we say, not my will but thine be done. That your chief delight and pleasure is a closer walk with God, and he is Lord of every cubby hole and cranny of your existence on this earth. Will you come to the table? Will you own him as Lord? Will you confess where you have failed and receive the full forgiveness that his cup of salvation brings, because he drank that cup? May God grant us grace to meditate on this sight and come obediently, humbly and reverently, to come brokenheartedly and rejoicingly. May God grant us the grace to examine and to come. Amen. We rise and pray. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that though Christ shuddered at the horror of the prospect of the cross, he consented sinlessly, perfectly, and resolutely to receive the cup and drink it. We thank you, O God, that he yielded to your will. And may you grant us the humility to yield to his will, who was yielded for us. Lord, grant us eyes to see this sight, to be brokenhearted. And may we come to the table. May we be blessed at this season as we drink the communion cup. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing praise then is Psalm 119 and the 13th part, and we sing verses 101 through to 104, 101 through to 104. My feet from each ill way I stay, that I may keep thy word. I have from thy judgments have not swerved, for thou hast taught me, Lord. Psalm 119, the 13th part, and we sing 101 to 104.
My feet from each ill way I stay,
that I may be true.
Now may the grace of Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with the people of God, both now and evermore. Amen.